Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am your host, Trebuchet. We are going to get into some wrestling talk. I am here with the one, the only, Chad Showtime Schultz.
Finally. The Undisputed Podcast has come back to your ear holes.
Yes, we're back, and man, it's been a little while.
It has been a while. We've had some attempts at making some episodes. Those are probably not going to see the light of day.
Probably not. They're pretty subpar. They're not up to our standards, and therefore they're not up to your standards.
Exactly. Sometimes when we drink some beatboxes or smoke a little too much of the prop one, not our best stuff, and we've got a lot of great things happening in pro wrestling right now, so we wanted to make it an important episode.
Mm-hmm.
So
we didn't leave the beatboxes in our hands. We left them in the refrigerator.
Yeah,
we're not currently on that. Prop one, we're on a little bit, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, the
show runs on.
We're on a reasonable amount of prop one, like an excessive.
So, but you and I have just been binge watching pro wrestling this past.
How much wrestling did we watch this week?
What was it up to?
So we were Monday. We were at 10.
10 hours. That was before anything that happened.
So last week we did not watch. We had a super busy week last week. We didn't watch any wrestling.
Right.
Then Monday, you didn't work or something. Like you got to work. We got to work early or something. Why did we even pull it off?
I don't know.
It was Sunday, not Monday.
Okay.
It was Sunday. We watched 10 hours of wrestling. We watched Raw. No, it had to have been Monday.
Yeah, I'm like, we didn't do it. Sunday we watched football, dude.
Yeah, it would have been Monday because Raw was on. So it was, we watched, Monday, last week's Raw.
Yeah.
That SmackDown.
Yep.
That NXT.
Yep.
And we watched the Raw from that night.
Yes.
So that's 6 hours of Raw.
Yep.
A SmackDown and 2 hours of NXT.
Yeah.
That's 10 hours of wrestling that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched 2 hours of NXT and 2 hours of AEW today.
Yes.
Because
we did that on Tuesday. That was Tuesday.
That was Tuesday we did that? Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Yes. And then today is Thursday because we did comedy on Wednesday.
Okay.
We just watched NXT and AEW back to back with a break for the Olive Garden in the middle.
Exactly.
And this show, normally we break down all of WWE and everything they're doing. This week specifically, we're breaking down the NXT versus the AEW Dynamite.
Yeah.
This particular episode.
Yeah,
and the competition was there, and it lived up to the hype as far as I'm concerned.
It was a good week in wrestling.
It was very good. It was very well done. NXT started with a championship match, which was clearly
out of the gate,
a way to get eyes on their product.
felt very Vince McMahon.
I would be surprised if that didn't come from Vince himself.
I think it was. I don't think Vince booked it. I think it was probably I think Triple H booked it, but I think it was probably a lesson he learned from Vince.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're like, hey, people are gonna want to turn to AEW immediately to see the first minutes of that first show.
Yeah,
make them turn over. They're like, if they're not watching NXT right away, they're missing that world title match.
Yeah, exactly. They're missing the title. And honestly, it was a good match and clean win by Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, I think they alluded that he might have used the cast at some point, but it wasn't very clear if they did.
Yeah, he's all like, no, it's regulation, blah blah blah.
Yeah, but it was a good match. So you tell everybody you were not caught up on NXT.
I was not. No.
So what's your plan?
Right now I'm still going to watch the takeovers that led up to where
sure.
I am.
Sure. So you're not going to watch every episode, but you're going to watch takeovers to lead up to where we are.
Right.
And you're going to watch the weekly product.
Right, because NXT is now 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there's also a whole other show, Dynamite, that I'm also watching.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to break them down every Thursday for you guys.
Yes.
And put them right here.
New season of the podcast starting right here, right now.
New era in wrestling, new season of the Undisputed Podcast of the World. That's what's going on.
By the way, you're champion right here. Co-champion.
Co-champion, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Forrest won title. He's not conspicuous in his absence.
Yes, absolutely. Considering we didn't tell him. Conspicuous in his absence. That son of a bitch. Should have been here.
I don't think we told anybody. Like,
it's just gonna happen, but still.
We're just like, hey, what are we gonna do today? You know, let's watch AEW and NXT and get Olive Garden. Yeah, all right, let's do that.
Yeah, we kind of did this on a whim, and then it's gonna end up in everybody's ear holes. As it should.
Whims in ear holes. The tribute time way.
Oh, yes.
I really think that it's got a good start. So
out of the gate, I don't think that Cody Rhodes versus this guy I've never heard of.
Sammy Guevara?
Yeah. Well, it was a good match.
Yeah.
Because we watched them both in their entirety, but yeah. Head to head, I would probably say that NXT at that point was more
interesting. Had the better opening match. Yeah. Sure. How do you like Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era?
Undisputed Era is lackluster as to everything I've heard about them up till now.
So you doesn't meet what you've heard about. You find them under-delivering what you've heard.
A lot of sizzle, not a lot of steak there thus far, but it's been 3 weeks.
Okay.
Like, the jury's not out. I really like Walter and...
Imperium.
I think they're awesome. I like the Jaws music. And then I just like that they're tough guys, and they're all like... Smash Mouth.
You're liking the British guys.
Yeah, I like that style.
Because we were, it was this week. It was Danny Burch and Pete Dunne had the match this week.
Yeah, the Bruiserweight.
I think that might be match of the week.
That was really good.
That was a really good match. Mm-hmm. It felt physical. It made sense. It felt back and forth. Like it was a really, really good match.
Yes, I like that style. I feel like you like that style a lot as well.
Yeah, no,
like,
it's physical.
A lot of uppercuts.
Yeah, it's physical. It's not, but it doesn't. It's not too much.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like you're watching. It's believable.
It's a lot of pro wrestling without a lot of high flying.
Yeah,
it's what it boils down to. They're not jumping off the top ropes a lot.
Yeah,
you may get a suicide dive here or there, but. You're going to get a lot of elbows. You're going to get a lot of forearms.
There's a lot of selling, too. Like, it feels like they try to keep it grounded.
I just
noticed
that in matches like this, I find myself saying, man, that guy is tough.
Yeah.
Like, they're tough guys. Tougher than a $2 stick.
No, I feel, and that's what I want to, look at wrestlers at. Like, those are tough guys.
Yeah, dude. So.
But so yeah, Adam Cole beats Matt Riddle. You like Matt Riddle? Everybody was saying you should like Matt Riddle.
I do like Matt Riddle. People were right. I am a bro.
Yeah.
Like I enjoy his MR calling his moveset.
Yeah.
I think that's just amazing. I think that's really good stuff.
The bro mission. Yeah. The floating bro.
I'm just like, all right, you got me, bro. Bro. I didn't think
the Broton.
Listen, I didn't think that bro could come back since Vince Russo. But I'm here to say that as of 2019, Matt Riddle has resurrected the word bro.
Bro.
For the humanoid. So have it back, you guys. Three claps for Matt Riddle. It's okay that he wrestles with no shoes on. It's fine.
I don't mind him wrestling with no shoes on. Like but when he goes outside the ring, I just get the heebie-jeebies. Like he's gonna step on something.
Right.
I don't like it. Like it doesn't bother me. Like from a wrestling standpoint, just like that's Florida. There's broken glass everywhere. He's gonna step in it.
Did it bother you in that AEW event where the dude with no shoes on was stepping on the tacks? Did that give you the same?
Yeah, I don't. I just I've stepped on shit. Like,
I'm just curious. Was it the same
thing in Home Alone when he climbs to the window and steps on the ornaments?
Okay,
I get that same.
Right.
Trev, you all right, buddy? You all right? You're squirming a little bit.
I'm just trying to figure out where what it is. I got it.
It's that same.
It's relatable.
But I'm afraid it's gonna happen for real.
Yeah.
He walks out there with no shoes on, like want it.
It's funny you were going. Like, they're in South Florida, Joe. There's broken glass everywhere.
Yeah. He's out there with no shoes on, and it's it was better this week, but it was a couple weeks ago when they were doing like the street fights.
Yeah,
like, they're all over that arena. He's barefoot. Like, he gonna stub his toe or something.
He's a pro wrestler. Chad's worried that he's gonna stub his toe.
Why? those metal bears? Don't think I'll take it off.
Taking fucking chairs and kendo sticks to the face. And I hope his toes are okay.
You don't want to lose a toe, man.
No, you don't. You don't want to lose a toe.
You don't want to lose a toe.
The Chad Schultz toe. story.
Don't
want to lose a toe.
Don't want to lose a toe in Florida. A gator will come up and bite that thing right off. It's Full Sail University. You don't know what's coming or going around there. Not high school, not college graduates. No one's graduating from Full Sail University.
That's funny. But anyways, but I like that he comes out with the slippers on.
No, you know, the flip flops. Yeah, flip flops. No, he's got. You know the story with him, right?
He like failed a drug test or something.
He was in USC. I think he was like 3-0.
Yeah.
And like they give him a drug test and they're like, you failed and you're suspending you or whatever. And
what did he
quit smoking? It was weed. He's like, you failed for weed. You're fine. Your suspension. He's like, well, I'm not gonna quit smoking weed. And they're like, get fired. Like, you quit smoking weed. And he's like, no, I'm not gonna quit smoking weed.
What are you, my mom?
Dana White, president of USC, called him a loser. He's like, well, you're never going to do anything. They asked him about him. Because he called, in an interview, he's like, yeah, they fired me because I wouldn't quit smoking weed. Like, it was a press thing.
Yeah.
And then someone asked Dana White about it. They're like, yeah, guy's an idiot. He's never going to do anything. No, won't quit smoking weed. Guy'll never be anything.
All right. Well, I'm officially on board the bro train here.
Yeah, I'm big fan of it. Big fan of his moveset. Big fan of his, like, him in general.
He's a big, strong guy. He's believable.
What were your take on Keith Lee?
Keith Lee?
Keith Lee was the...
Last week, I had such an opinion of Keith Lee.
Okay, so the match aside.
Okay.
Don't talk about the match. Because Matt Riddle and Keith Lee worked a lot together in the Indies.
Okay.
Do you like Keith Lee as a talent?
Keith Lee has a lot of potential based on what I saw. I was absolutely
very athletic.
I was absolutely appalled with the match last week.
Okay. You like Keith Lee as a talent?
Thus far, yes. I don't have an issue. He's a big strong guy. He's believable. I would like to see him collide with Riddle.
Athletic. He and Riddle have great matches.
I feel like they
How did you feel about Dominic Dijakovic? I forget how to fucking pronounce his name. It was the D guy, if you were referring to him.
I don't know. Like I said, I thought that match was just terrible.
All right, tell me about the match, because you had some opinions about this.
Yeah, this was last NXT.
This was last NXT.
Yeah, I know I said I wasn't going to get into it, but I'm going to get into it anyways, because I'm Trebuchet, and what I say goes. It's my goddamn show. So,
I like that I brought it up.
So, the match last week, it was the D guy, Dijakovic, or whatever it is.
Dijakovic.
Yeah, Degeneration Axovic versus Keith Lee. And the match was going fine up until Keith Lee hit a Vader Salt. That's this large 300-pounder on the middle rope.
Yeah.
Doing a moonsault.
Keith Lee's like 320 or something.
And landing it.
Yeah, Dominic, I'm your poppy, kicked out of it.
Kicks out it too. I'm all like, all right, well, I think that should have been it, but let's see where we're going from here. So the match continues on a little bit more, and then the D guy's on the middle rope, and Keith Lee is up there too, and all of a sudden he hits a Canadian Destroyer on Keith Lee.
From the second rope.
From the middle rope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that is it. One, two.
Dominic Dirty Dutch Mantel hits the thing, and Keith Lee kicks out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just all like, well, this is ridiculous. He should be dead.
He should be dead.
And then Keith Lee gets up and hits him with his finisher, because why would you sell the Canadian Destroyer from the middle rope? It's just the most amazing move that's ever happened in the history of moves up until last year when everybody started doing it and kicking out of it. But he did his finisher, which was the least spectacular of the three hot spots.
The Canadian Destroyer is a meme now.
Yeah, it's just people, so, like...
Yeah.
So Dirty Deeds, stays down finally, and...
Keith Lee finally gets him up on... Hits him with, like, a power slam or something, and...
Yeah, Keith Urban hits his finisher, and then
pins Dominic, you know, 666 to the mat, 1-2-3.
Bam.
And that was the end of the match.
Yeah, like, exactly. It was disgusting.
You were not a fan. So I was a big fan of, like, the athleticism of the match. But yeah, I agree that this kicking
that,
out of it.
That match lost me for the rest of the night. I couldn't get over it. I'm like, the rest of the ring psychology made no sense. Because they did that in the first match. Like, I'm like, oh, well, that fucking finishers don't matter. And then... But it seems like every time I watch a match on a Wednesday, somebody's kicking out of a finisher.
So that's
you can't even call them finishers.
That's the indie
style.
These
are signatures.
That's the indie style now.
I'm calling it today.
Yeah,
they're not finishers. They're signatures.
I don't think anybody calls them finishers anymore.
They're signatures.
I don't think anybody even calls them finishers anymore. I think they call them signatures. I don't think, because on Raw specifically,
Monday Night Raw.
Lacey Evans has been beating people with the sharpshooter.
Yes,
it's a feud with Natalya, and they've been calling the sharpshooter Natalya's signature,
yes,
not her finish.
Okay,
I just have noticed that they haven't been calling her finishing move, or they've been calling her signature move.
Yes.
So I just wonder if that's like a Vince edict. We don't say finish.
Signature, special move.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, we don't say finisher. We don't say belt. We don't say wrestler.
It's just like, how many times are we going to hit him with like four F5s in a row?
Yeah, and like I said, that's the indie style. And I think you're going to see more of it on NXT than you will on Raw or SmackDown. And you're going to see a lot of it on AEW as well. Guys kicking out of shit that they shouldn't be kicking out of.
Yeah, there's a couple of spots where I'm just
Wednesdays
like
are going to be the night where you're going to be getting mad about that shit. I'm calling it now. We're going to be podcasting after doing this on Thursdays, and you're going to be just screaming.
I never thought it would be the cratchety old guy that's just like, back in my day, that would be the end of this match. This wrestling.
Jim Cornette, is that you?
Exposing the business.
Can I get you a double cheeseburger? You want anything on that?
Double mayo, hold the onion, motherfucker.
Hold the onion.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So
that's why you don't do vegetables.
I don't do the vegetable thing. Nope.
But so anything else on NXT like these past couple weeks since that you've been watching it?
I think you're a big fan of that their women's division is light years ahead of AEW's women's division.
Okay, so what have you? So you saw AEW's title match tonight. You saw
they both had title matches.
But you saw AEW's title match tonight. You saw Riho versus Nyla Rose.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything else from AEW's women's division?
I saw that Double or Nothing.
You saw the four way.
Whichever one that we commented.
Yeah, it was the four way one.
That's what I've seen. I know they have Emma.
Yeah, they have Emma. They got Britt Baker. They've got
who should never do commentary again.
Yeah, that was miserable.
I'm just saying, like, man, that was just like, you don't do two word answers. Like, are you Funaki? Like, indie
evil.
Like, come on now. Like, it's live television. I understand a lot of people haven't done live television, but if you have a microphone,
yeah,
that's designed for you to talk into. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. Just putting it out there.
No,
I'm exposing the business.
Yeah. No. So I understand you haven't seen a lot of AEW's women's division, but yeah, they don't have a whole lot. I didn't care for the AEW women's title match tonight.
I thought the other women's match they had was better with the blonde girl. Or was that the NXT match?
The AEW one?
Yeah. That was NXT. NXT
was Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae.
That one. I like that match a lot. Yeah, that wasn't even AEW.
Yeah, that was NXT. You like Candice LeRae a little bit?
I like her a little bit, yeah.
Like her a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, baby. Yeah. She's on the oh, baby-o-meter. She's a dime.
You are incorrigible.
Mm-hmm.
You've been liking the NXT women stuff.
I really like it, man. It's some of the best stuff that they're doing, and
I'm always surprised. It seems like whenever the women get called up in NXT, I always go like, I wonder like who's gonna take their place, because it seems like NXT women's division is always really, really good.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't know how they're gonna fill those holes. And they do. Like, it always seems like there's good female talent that comes up to really take their place. And I'm always just kind of surprised. It seems like
we were talking about
their
this.
Division has stayed good the entire time.
Because they had all four horsewomen when they started. That's Becky, Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley.
Yeah.
Three of them went up. Bayley stayed behind for a little bit.
Yeah.
Carmella got over. Asuka.
Asuka, they had Billy and Peyton.
Liv Morgan was down there. Yeah, harnessed her craft.
The Lexa and stuff. When Charlotte and Sasha and Becky all came up, I was like, that's gonna hurt them. And then Bayley came up, and I was like, that's good. Like, I keep going. Like, I wonder. Like, that has to hurt them. And I keep getting through it.
Everybody move up. Ember Moon would pick up.
Yeah, no, it always seems like they're really good at it. building the female talent down there to pick up the slack.
Yeah.
And they have yet to falter with that women's division down there. And I'm just super impressed by that, because it seems like there's times where the men's division has kind of stalled out a little bit. Yeah. Where you can tell where, like... You
get, like, a Drew McIntyre reign, and everybody's just all like, this is not
There's definitely been moments you can tell where they've called some guys up and been like, all right, we definitely got to rebuild the division down here a little bit, where you've definitely seen the top talent go up.
Well, the idea behind it is, like, they graduated to the next level. It's kind of a celebration as to the...
Yeah, for sure. With the developmental territory, that's going to happen. Like, that's part of it. It seems like with the women's division, no matter who they called up, you really didn't see a wall.
Right.
And I was just always kind of surprised by that. So I really, hats off to WWE, because 10 years ago, if you would have told me WWE's women's division would be this good on all fronts.
Yeah, yeah. I'm impressed. Like, I'd be surprised. The women are main event and stuff, like Hell in a Cell this Saturday. Like,
are they gonna be the main event for that?
I know Becky's gonna go up against Sasha. I'd be surprised if that's not gonna be the main event.
I'm thinking Seth versus the Fiend will probably be main event.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah. That's fair.
No, the women's Hell in a Cell match was the main event the first time, so that was like groundbreaking, the women's being in a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be main event this time. But I mean, the fact that it's even happening, it's not even a shock it's happening anymore.
No, not at all. It's the man. I'm excited to see the man in the cage. Yeah,
I just I really don't see how AEW can compete with WWE's women's division at this point. Between WWE's main roster, NXT, NXT UK, I don't even know if there's like that many hot like female free agents out there to get.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't even know if AEW could have that spectacular of a female division, because there are so many top names in WWE. I mean, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Who is not signed for WWE that has a name?
AJ Lee.
AJ Lee doesn't. AJ Lee is retired. I don't know that she.
Oh, come on.
If she were to come out of retirement, that would be a good get.
Yeah.
I would say
Gail Kim.
I would say has a good chance of going to AEW.
Yeah. I would like to see Taryn Terrell, but that's just me personally because I'm me.
Sure. Tessa Blanchard, I think, would be a good get for AEW. I think she's still with Impact right now.
Yeah.
That would be a good get. The Beautiful People are still with Ring of Honor.
Right, yeah.
They would be a good get for AEW. I know that at one of the pre-shows, they had Mercedes Martinez there. Mm-hmm. She was in both of the Mae Young Classics. She's a pretty big indie name. She's probably in her 40s. Like, she's just been an indie women's wrestler forever.
Mm-hmm.
She would be a big name talent. They have Awesome Kong there.
They do. They didn't use her tonight.
No, they didn't. They've got a couple of Japanese names that I'm not familiar with. I think one of the biggest issues with the Japanese names they have is they look fucking 14. Like, they got the smallest Japanese girls they could find.
Well, the champion, they said she was, what, 98 pounds?
If. I think it was close to, like, 85. Like, she is tiny. And the other one they have, too, is a similar situation. And, like, it just...
Is it not believable?
The match tonight with Riho and Nyla Rose was bad. That match was not good.
She beat her, but then at the same time, she got up and just pie-faced her down with just,
Felt weird. I like Nyla not winning the title tonight. I like building Nyla as a heel more, because I think that Nyla can really get some heel heat. I don't think she has it yet.
Right.
So I think
Nyla not winning,
I think it's fine. I think building Nyla as a heel that will eventually just destroy this small woman is fine. I think it's all fine, big picture.
It got a big pop. The crowd really enjoyed it.
Here's the thing. That crowd was popping for goddamn everything.
Yeah.
It
was the first one. It was the first one.
It was the first one. And God bless them. That they know they found their mark crowd that will fucking pop for anything Kenny and the Young Bucks do.
Yeah, the elite, that is their crowd, man.
If Kenny Omega came out and curled a big old fucking round coil on the fucking shit on that on that for the middle of that ring,
I visualize
just pull this trunks down and just took a big old fat shit in the middle of that ring. The fans would pop for it. I'm not trying to knock the crowd, but anything they did would have gotten over. That crowd was hot for everything.
As it should have been.
That crowd wants to be behind that product. And that's good. I hope it lasts. That is an enthusiastic crowd.
The three initial guy that's got all the
heat. MJF?
MJF. That guy I really
like. That guy's money.
MJF. Put on the best show tonight in AEW. That was my favorite thing that they did.
MJF will be in this business forever.
He's not scared to say things that will push the envelope.
MJF.
That guy can wrestle. MJF. And that guy bumps he's a 1980s Ric Flair.
MJF gets it. He's he's getting mainstream heat.
Yeah, you were saying that. Who did he call out?
Well, so his opponent, I forget what his fucking opponent's name was. He's a nobody.
Dolph Ziggler.
One of the Young Bucks. It wasn't Dolph Ziggler.
It was a nobody. you heard it
yourself. One of the Young Bucks friends. He's like a D&D fan.
Yeah.
It was a couple of weeks ago. He posts a selfie of a gym shot. He goes I don't play D&D. Holy shit. On Twitter, people got mad.
Oh yeah.
We have friends that don't watch wrestling.
Absolutely.
But play D&D.
Yeah, that is true.
How many times did you see them share this post about because it was the guy that plays Deathstroke in the Arrowverse shows, Green Arrow, Flash.
Oh
and stuff.
Yeah, he was in that WWE pay per view or whatever, wasn't he?
Oh no, that's the guy that plays the Green Arrow. That's Stephen Amell.
Oh, okay.
It's the same show, but he basically plays Deathstroke in those shows.
Okay.
Basically took a picture of him from Muscle and Fitness and goes, "Well, I play D&D." So it was like a clapback. He had people screenshotted those tweets and made a post about it. And there were D&D pages on Twitter and Facebook, all showing this big muscle head getting dunked on for insulting D&D. No one's everyone's like, "Who's MJF?" We're like, "He's a wrestler, and you're doing exactly what he wants you to do."
That is amazing.
You don't even understand. You're getting worked.
Back in the day, he would get his tires slashed. And
he's
getting that white hot heat because he's not afraid to go out there and grab it.
I wouldn't call it white heat. Yeah, but he's getting real heat. He's the that only last guy thing getting
that we watched. He was saying some outrageous things, and I'm like, this guy is reminding me Dudley Boy's circa ECW days.
It's the closest thing to it.
And just going for the jugular.
He goes right out there for it. You would love his Q&A stuff when he goes to conventions and stuff.
I bet.
The last one he went to at StarCast. So there's a Q&A you go to and he charges $25 to get in. And you go up, you ask him a question, there's a skinny guy. He's like, "You wanna ask me a question? 10 push-ups." Okay. So he makes this guy, skinny guy, get down to do 10 push-ups. Uh-huh. Guy gets up, he goes, "I'm never gonna answer your question. Go to the back." So he just shits on the fans.
That's awesome.
Fans are paying for a photo op, and he won't smile. He'll sit shit on them.
He's ribbing the
fans. The whole thing is he's a heel, and fans will come up and he'll flip the camera off when fans "You want a picture?" You're like, "Fine, whatever." He'll flip the camera off when you try to take a picture of him.
That's awesome.
So he doesn't do the thing. He's too good for it. He comes out and he cuts heel fucking promos.
I love it. I eat it up with a spoon.
Jim Cornette has done work with him. You know, he's that tried crowd, giving him tips.
That crowd did not like anything he had to say.
Yeah, no,
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was amazing.
I think he's 24.
He's got it, and he understands it. I can't stress that more.
His finish is pretty cool. It's He basically gets you, like, in the ropes the way, like, Orton does for the DDT.
Yeah.
But he does, like, a pile driver from that position.
Okay.
It's a really cool-looking finish, too. The storyline with him is he's obviously a heel,
mm-hmm.
but he's best friends with Cody, who's a face. So when Cody, like, gets in trouble, he'll come out and try to save him.
Okay.
So he's, like, trying to kiss up to the boss.
Yeah.
So, like, the other thing they do at, like, events is, like, so he'll be, like, running around with Cody. So when Cody's with him, he'll, like you know, buddy up with the fans. And when Cody, like, turns his back, he'll, like, flip the fans off.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then Cody turns off, yeah, yeah. You know, like,
that's awesome. That two-faced devil.
Yeah. It's,
and how slick is he?
Everybody's waiting on you know, him to turn on Cody.
And he will, because that's how this wrestling business works.
Yeah, it's Cody's Dusty's kid. He Cody's booking this shit like fucking Dusty would book it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
AEW had a very WCW feel.
Like, oh, wait, no, it definitely. It Tony felt Schiavone. Like watching Nitro.
Yeah. We just,
it was very bright.
Yes, very bright.
Very colorful lights.
The lights were really cool.
Lots of pyro.
A couple of, a lot more Western and, like, Southern cowboy wrestling angles.
Yeah.
And not to mention baseball commercials.
Oh, yeah.
We are back in Turner Broadcasting territory.
I was like, oh, this is Turner TV. That was a Braves commercial.
Everything's going to end at 05, everybody. Yeah. The Superstation is back, Jack. But it was really fun. Like, we were talking about it. Like, JR and Tony Schiavone is money together. That's just...
I get why you have Excalibur in there. I mean, you need to teach new guys how to commentate.
Yeah.
But Tony Schiavone and JR could fucking carry that whole broadcast.
They have.
You don't need an extra guy in there.
The history lessons during the matches.
No, there's a Buzz Sawyer reference within 5 minutes of the start of the show. I was like, ah, this is wonderful.
They talked about the first Nitro they did that was live on TNT.
Yeah. No, like, they were dropping 80s references. Like, it's good to hear that shit. Everybody, the whole WWE thing is like, ah, no one cares. No one hears that. Yeah, people do want to hear that.
That's why we buy the DVDs, for the nostalgia, because we love those moments. We want to see those moments again. We love being reminded of them. We love talking about them. We love going up to our heroes and discussing it with them and how it felt to be in that moment.
I am neutral to neutral minus on Excalibur.
Yeah.
But AEW's commentary team is my favorite commentary team.
Currently. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. JR and Tony Schiavone.
That makes sense.
That said, Raw's new commentary team.
Yeah, we have not seen Fox's new commentary team.
No, we have not. That will be tomorrow. You will probably be very drunk.
It's Pulaski weekend. I am very Polish. There's Z's and C's in my last name, so that means...
His last name is spelled Pershela, and you'll never spell it right.
No, don't worry about it. Don't even try. You don't get anything if you do.
Yeah. There's no prize at the end.
So I'll be stumbling around West Michigan on Friday.
Yeah, he's gonna after
I'm
hanging
gonna be
out
all
with,
hopped up on kielbasa and Coors Light.
Kielbasa, Coors Light, gonna find a girl to polka with. And,
oh yeah, I'm gonna make a big old ass out of myself.
Come back here at 2 a.m. and watch some SmackDown, maybe.
I'll try to watch some Friday Night SmackDown. We may try to do a podcast. I guarantee zero results.
Yeah, that one may also go into
the
lost episode,
right into the vault.
The lost episodes disc that when we make it big is gonna be valuable.
Do not erase. But do not play.
It goes in there with the Owen Hart footage,
just
the Graz footage. Yeah,
all that we don't want it. You don't need to see it.
That's I'm pretty sure the Chris Benoit episode of Raw is in there. There's a couple of those, isn't there?
Yeah, the ECW one that was a tribute show. Just
the what one?
The Benoit one was an ECW show. It was a tribute show to him.
No, not the ECW one, the Raw one.
The Raw one?
Yeah, it was the Raw. I'm pretty sure that's that one. They don't have that in circulation.
We know what we're talking about. They're not watching anything the Insane Clown Posse did with them. they're hiding everything. They're burying shit. But TNT Dynamite is Jericho. You know, he was.
You liking Jericho?
I like having Jericho in my wrestling.
Jericho sure is starting to show his age a little bit, though.
I thought he looked worse before.
His
last run with WWE, I thought he looked worse. He seems a little toner than he was.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
He
no,
may, he may
fair.
Has lost a step or two, but he's
he, he's doing there. He's doing he's still Jericho. He's still
he's
doing
still
fine.
Doing the he, lion salt. Oh, yeah. Like that looks moving as good as ever.
He's definitely aged.
And he understands ring psychology better than anybody in that company.
Oh, for sure. No, like, they're lucky to have him.
He's captain in that locker room.
You like that? You like that finish?
The
Judas effect, that elbow.
I do enjoy that.
That back elbow he just cracks you with.
Absolutely,
it's
absolutely.
Simple.
Yeah, it's good and it's not flashy. It's like got an MMA feel to it.
Yeah, it's just like a
and it's got a heavy metal name to
yeah.
it.
Well, yeah. I mean, his entrance music is it's Judas. That's a song he comes out to.
Yeah, it's very heavy metal.
Someone pointed out one time that like who else in wrestling can say that. They're a world champion that comes out to music they created themselves that's been on rock charts. Like, that's pretty impressive. That's like that song has been at the top of the rock charts, which I mean rock charts don't really mean.
You got me racking my brain. I don't know if that's been done.
No, that's like that's
no, may,
Jerry Lawler had some music that
we know Jeff Jarrett, who my baby tonight didn't fucking
my nights working hard on the go.
I got
my hands on the clock, keep turning too slow.
I gotta check the charts to see if Honky Tonk Man's music made it. I gotta get back. I'll get back to you guys. I'll let you know. Oh, man. Maybe Shawn Michaels, sexy boy, topped the charts at some point.
No, I feel like...
I would say John Cena probably was the closest, but he never sang his entrance music. Or no,
John Cena rapped his entrance music, but that CD didn't make the chart, like, rap charts.
It didn't? I'm like, it probably was in the top 100 or something.
I mean,
probably came in at number 100, but...
Sure, but, like, Jared, like... That song was the number one like rock.
It was
single
no Cena's
for a while.
Was not number one at all. No, I would say that would be the closest that I can remember.
See, Cena made a rap album, but it was like, oh, that's a novelty. He's rapping, but it's John Cena.
It was like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
like,
Fozzy is a real rock
Vince McMahon's
band. Like
music video, you know what I mean?
Stand back.
That's a banger. You shut your dirty mouth, Chad. It's a great piece of WWF footage.
The greatest, even.
Stand by. Oh, I love it so much. Oh man.
No. How do you feel about the tag tournament that AEW's doing?
The tag tournament looks like it can be good.
You got a favorite to win that thing?
Not Stone Cold University.
The Stone Cold University.
Not
yeah.
Not
you
at
you
all.
Don't you don't like you don't like you don't like SoCal Uncensored, do you?
I don't like Kaz and Daniels. I never have.
Really? Never?
I never have.
Huh? No. What don't you like?
I don't know. I don't like them. I don't think they're good.
You don't think they're good?
No.
Well, you know what's interesting is when I started watching wrestling, which would have been like 2004 or 2005. So that's probably I saw Daniels for the first time when he was in TNA.
Yeah,
like,
it was definitely
on Spike.
On
he
TNA,
was
yeah.
older than he was like his late 30s then.
Yeah,
because I always wonder because everybody's like Styles has a shot to go to WWE because it was when Samoa Joe, Styles, and Daniels had that triple threat.
Yeah,
this kind of set wrestling on fire.
Yeah,
it was like put TNA on the map. Everybody's like those three should go to WWE, and I remember people going AJ and Joe have a shot. Everybody goes Daniels is old already. Like everybody's like Daniels is was in good shape and could go, but like he's like in almost 40 and that was goddamn.
Yeah, who do you think he is?
15 years, 15 years ago.
Like WWE does not usually take older people. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, interesting enough.
Nature of the biz, you know.
I'm kind of surprised Frankie Kazarian didn't do more in WWE considering who he's related to.
Who's he related to?
He's Shawn Michaels' like nephew.
Is he? Oh, maybe.
I'm pretty sure that's.
Maybe he didn't want to. Do
I,
it.
Am I thinking the wrong guy? No,
I don't know.
No, I'm thinking the wrong guy. I'm thinking of Matt Bentley.
Okay. Well,
do you remember Maverick Matt?
Vaguely.
I'm thinking of Matt Bentley, who also. I think he just retired. I think he might
get hurt. Back to your question, the tag team that I'm probably rooting for is Pentagon and
Lucha Bros.
Yeah, the Lucha Bros. Pentagon and Phoenix. I like the Luchadors. I was asking. I'm like, we've been on TNT. We've had two matches. Where's my goddamn Luchadors? And Excalibur does not count.
I don't love him wearing a match and mask on commentary.
It's fine. It's whatever. It doesn't affect the job at all. It's got to be uncomfortable as hell.
I It's a nitpick. I wish you wouldn't.
Stop being nitpicky. It's fun. Just get over it.
I hate fun. I think you heard the rest of the people on the commentary.
That is true. If you did have a t-shirt, it would say, I hate fun.
I don't hate fun. I even let Bustler try to give me the dick flip.
I don't
hate fun. He couldn't do it.
I don't hate fun. I've eaten a piece of cake one time.
We both know I've eaten more than one piece of cake.
Oh, I know. We go to the grocery store the other day. Chad Showtime Schultz just drooling over this Reese's cake.
Okay, all right, all right. A couple of things about that. First of all, it was a Reese's ice cream cake.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah,
all right.
Let him know. Give him the deets on this. All right. This,
second of all, I was high as fuck. Sexy. I could not help myself. Third of all, they didn't accept the food stamp, so I didn't get it.
Well, fourth of all, we should have bought that.
We should know. We know you were back. You were back here later. You'll make. Yeah, you gotta mock me for eating cake. We come back here 3 hours later. You look over at me, go, we should have got that goddamn cake.
We got that good. We fucked up. Damn. We on that bro stuff.
Thanks, taxpayers. Yeah. God damn it.
Don't worry, we'll get better at this. One of these days, we'll the Undisputed Podcast will be brought to you with ice cream cake.
We will have some ice cream cake on this podcast. Maybe next week.
Maybe. We'll see how we got
a Dairy Queen right down the road. It's going to close up soon.
Well, we could just go buy a similar cake to that one you were looking at. Like we could go back to that store.
We could do that.
Because it looked magnificent. I think that one still has your drool on it. I think we have to pay for it, actually. Look. Go there, like, fellas, we know you want this one.
Come here. Yeah.
But you got to buy this other one, too.
Yeah, like this one has your DNA on it. You must buy it.
Here's the footage of you drooling on it. Yeah.
We knew you'd be back.
There's you jacking off on it. This is your semen. We had it tested.
I'm gonna need you to stop. We need to put this episode on the air. This is right about where this is right about where episodes start to go.
This is the big one.
This is right about where episodes start going to the lost episodes file.
I'll pump the brakes. As long as the
brakes the only thing you're pumping, it's fine.
All right, for now.
Save that for behind the paywall.
All right, I will. I'm not gonna say anything else because we won't be able to release this. All right, back to wrestling. What else happened?
I'll be honest. The NXT, or I'm sorry, AEW's tag division.
Who was your favorite in that thing?
I'm not thrilled with their tag division right now. I feel like they're
well, the Young Bucks are supposed to be the cream of the crop, but they're not in it, are they?
I think they are. They are.
Are they in it?
I don't like the Young Bucks.
Why? Why don't you like the Young Bucks?
So you heard me talking to the Minutemen. They're just the most hot dogginest team. Like they're
You watching that main event and you were just all like, I'm like, oh, this is exciting, you gotta admit that. And you kept saying,
yeah, it's a spot fest. There's no ring psychology. They're doing cool flips and shit, but if I wanted to watch Ninja Warrior, I'd just watch that. Like this, all right, so
Jim Cornette.
Is
that a tennis racket in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Both.
Stupid son of a bitch.
No, first of all, Kenny Omega is the fucking ultimate warrior. That dude is just every punch. Just fucking shaking the ropes and fucking throwing his head back. I said you have to pose after every punch, and what did you say?
The Rock did it. It's fine.
It's not as bad as when The Rock did it.
And the Rock was electrifying.
The Rock.
We'll see that on SmackDown this Friday.
The Rock didn't do it after every punch. It was
every single kick. I raise you every kick. Every kick, the people's elbow was how he put the wiener, the bun, the ketchup, the mustard, the relish. The whole pickle, because it's Chicago style, apparently. A whole tomato, couple of jalapenos, nacho cheese, a bucket of chicken. Then he dropped the elbow. The whole hot dog was the people's elbow, is what I'm saying.
All right. So The Rock's punches were not as egregious as Kenny Omega's.
Oh, I forgot. Spinning on your hand makes your punch so much more effective.
I like that. Second, Kenny Omega's not the fucking Rock.
I agree with that.
He hasn't earned
Kenny,
that.
Kenny Omega's not the Rock.
I
like the pants. Their pants are cool.
Fuck. You would.
I do. You would wear
the fuck out of some Young Bucks pants.
DM me if you wish to send me those pants. I will give you my PO box.
You could fucking go as the Young Bucks for Halloween.
Both of them at the same time. You got it. Who are you? I'm the Young Bucks.
I'm the Young Bucks.
Just go back and forth. Pose this way, pose that way. Pose this. What's he doing? He's two people at the same time.
My name's Mick Jackson. I'm both of the Young Bucks. He's fucking goofy facial expressions. He's got some cool moves, but he just, it's Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks just fucking lack all fucking ring psychology. It's all fucking high spots and fucking posing. I can't get into it.
No?
I do not like it.
I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it. I enjoy it.
I think it's
I enjoy the high flying.
It's interesting. The high flying moves are fun to watch from a high.
And at the same time, I'm going to say on here what I said to you earlier. It was a six-man tag.
Sure.
How many times in six-man tags do we see a finisher?
All the Young Bucks matches are like that. If this was
a six-man tag.
Sure.
Like I said, I'm taking this on a week-by-week basis here. I'm going to try and break it. As of this week, I didn't see anything wrong with it. Okay. If they have a one-on-one match and that shit's going on, we're going to revisit this, and we're going to have to go get some double meat, double mayo, hold the onion for me, and put them on your burger.
I'm judging this based on the big picture. You're saying that it is an isolated incident, you don't see anything wrong.
Absolutely.
I would hear that argument if I didn't have more looking at it.
You've seen more of
it. I've seen
this amount of super kicks before, and then I like it.
The other problem I had with that match is that match should have stopped. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, let's get into that.
This is actually an overarching point for more than just AEW.
Yeah.
Are there no rules in tag team wrestling anymore?
What's going on? Why are we not caring about tags? Like, guys are just in there. All the Elite were in there at one point. The referees just all like, now, fellas, he ain't hurting nobody.
Now, Skeeter.
I'm like,
we don't take kindly to tags around here.
I'm like, you guys, like, this match should have ended. Jon Moxley comes out, attacks Omega, puts him through a glass table. No disqualification. Was this a no disqualification match?
No, it was not. To my knowledge.
God knows there was a time limit in this match, because that's the only thing that was important, apparently.
I like the time limit.
I like the time limit, but that's not the only thing that should matter in tag team wrestling, Chad. The rules matter. Am I the only one that cares about the rules anymore?
He's either John Goodman. Calm down.
I care about the rules, man.
Fucking go visit your wife, Roseanne.
Okay.
Even though
lost her this year.
Even though you died the last season,
and then I came back.
You came back to life.
Nobody can kill John Goodman. He's like part Grimace.
I don't even know what to make of that.
Nothing can kill a Grimace. Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me on that.
Yeah, I trust you.
It's been studied.
Moving right along. All
right. It's the best episode ever. Thursday nights will never be the same. Wednesday nights, there's a worm. But Thursday nights, the fallout is just for goddamn ridiculous. but no, seriously, that match should have ended in disqualification.
But
if they wanted to restart it, make it a 2-on-3, that's whatever.
Sure.
I personally think that Moxley should have jumped him after the finish.
Yeah.
It would have made more sense. And then have the hoopla.
Or have Moxley jump Omega before the match?
And have the Bucks, just have it a tag match and just have Omega on the outside and have Moxley jump him.
Yeah, something.
Just don't have Omega in the match. I don't. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
a couple of things didn't go particularly smoothly. Like there was a vignette or two where there's like that wasn't right.
Yeah, because you could tell that there were some mistakes made.
Which will happen on live TV.
They're not. You got to remember,
WWE's not the machine. WWE's
been running live TV for fucking 30 years. Like. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they've got enough experience in the industry.
They're not making a lot of mistakes. This is new territory for AEW. There's gonna be some rough moments. But so on the NXT side, The tag team main event. Did you like that this week?
Which one? The NXT one?
Yeah, it was. Kyle O'Reilly.
Street Profits are money.
Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish versus Street Profits with tag titles.
Worst names ever. The fucking O'Reilly and Fish.
That's their real name.
Hold the coleslaw, everybody. O'Reilly and Fish are in the house. Like, just. Just, can we get this with a side of tartar? Like, just, this is the worst.
I really like Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, well.
I love him a lot.
Yeah, well, Undisputed Era is underwhelming. Hashtag.
So that was another message that should have ended in EQ. Was because
hashtag underpants.
At the end of the match, Broderick Strong is coming to the ring and pushes one of them off the top rope. The rest looking right at him and is like, "Ah, well, all right."
I'm the only one who cares about the rules anymore. But apparently, I can't yell about that.
Like, my guess is the ref blew that spot. The ref shouldn't have been looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very clearly, Roderick Strong just pushing him off the top rope. Like, well, that's a DQ. Like,
that's a DQ, or you have to eject him.
Eject him or something. Like, it was just
look at it. That being said, I've never seen that referee before in my life. That may have been his first main event.
I don't know. It was something. It was a good match overall. Like, the ending was something, but overall, really good match.
Head to head, which do you think was better? Well, hold up before we go with tag team match.
I gotta say, I really think Angelo Dawkins has some work to do yet.
Yes.
Angelo Dawkins is the bigger guy.
He needs to slow down.
His pacing is a little funny. He's definitely got some work to do. Montez Ford.
Yeah, well,
as a tag team or single.
Dawson has really good size, really good look.
Yeah.
But just needs to slow down. Dawkins. Yeah, I'm not familiar with NXT's product. I've watched three episodes.
Yeah, no, you're good.
The other guy.
Yeah.
That guy is really good in the ring.
Yeah.
And he's really good on the mic.
They're both good on the stick.
They're really good. I understand.
No, that dude is all limbs. Like, you said he's built like a wide receiver.
He looks like a wide receiver.
He's built like fucking Megatron. He's like.
I imagine if that guy hit you, it would kill you. I believe that. Like,
yeah.
And I would want to, like, drink with those guys. Like, the Red Solo Cup thing that they do. They came out with Chad's favorite rapper, Whale. He goes, oh, my God. Hold on. Stop the show. I've never seen Chad Showtime Schultz and his stepson, friend of the show, Dale Mustache Goad, relate so much. Because as the Street Profits are coming out, Chad goes, oh, they got Whale bringing him out? And Goad goes, no, it's Wale. Trebuchet yelled at me so hard when I said that one time. I'm like, you're embarrassing me in front of girls. It's Wale. And then he proceeds.
No, you messed up. Chris initially says, Whale's coming out. And I was like, I thought Chris said Whale first. And I legit always thought that was pronounced Whale. I've never really heard it said.
You've clearly never heard him rap ever. Because he says his name in the rap.
Would you believe I've never heard listen to Whale rap before? By the way, I'm still not calling him Wale. It's Whale. I'm not changing. I'm going to meet him. We're like, hey, Whale, how's it going, buddy?
Three Profits out there with Shamu.
It's the Street Profits brought to you to the ring by Echo the Dolphin.
God damn it. Saga. I'm a bitch.
At one point, I just call him. I go, I hope he does. I hope he does Kiss from a Rose. Chris is like, he's not sure if I know if he's joking anymore. He's like, does he know that's Seal? I was like, yes, I know.
But he doesn't know this isn't Batman Forever. I know Cole Kidman's out here just looking. Just overlooking the ring with nothing but a sheet on. Man, this is a great show.
At the end of the thing, I was like, can't believe the guy that did a remix to Ignition brought him out. And Chris is like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what's real anymore.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I just love that stuff.
Bro. Okay, so to sum it up, interesting enough, Wale, big wrestling fan. Like, he runs like a wrestling show once a year. Like Wale Mania, they call it.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he
tribute stock.
No, yeah, huge wrestling fan. But yeah. No, that was a cool entrance. Everybody had the red solo cups and everything.
That was really fun. It looked like a house party almost.
No, I'm a big fan of what the Street Profits have been doing on Raw, just like introducing matches and stuff.
They're like the ringleaders of the show.
They're like
ladies and gentlemen, this is what we just saw, and this is what we're gonna see ya.
They're doing like the host stuff. Like, yeah,
John Cena did it for a while. The Rock did that stuff for a while. Yeah, it's like you're the MC for Monday Night Raw.
But I haven't seen him in the ring too much. But yeah, I mean, especially like I said, Angelo needs some work. He's still good.
He's got a good look.
By no means is he bad.
No, absolutely.
But
worse.
I mean, Montez Ford was just showing out.
Yeah, no,
he was.
If they went head to head, I think that he would definitely surpass him. And
oh yeah, no, I could see Montez Ford having a singles run sometime. I mean, he's got it. No, he's got good size too.
Yeah, he's got everything that a good pro wrestler needs.
But no, I think that those guys have a good run ahead of them as a tag team, just because they got all the fucking charisma in the world, and they can work. They've got just so much sizzle, but they got the steak too.
Yeah,
I think that keeping them NXT for right now is a good idea to keep honing them. But I think that's a good move. I think putting them on the main roster just as the host is a good way to get them exposure.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that it's
get their faces out there. You don't show how they need a little work in the ring yet.
Yeah,
but they still get out there. You show off the NXT tag titles a little bit on Raw. Just be like, hey, look at these. They're nice. These are the guys that are repping it. These are the next up-and-coming guys.
Yeah.
Biggest thing on NXT that we did not discuss, Finn Balor.
Finn Balor's back.
Is back on NXT.
I don't think he's going to be the only guy coming down.
No, I thought it was going to be Kevin Owens. All the rumors were KO's coming.
Well, I mean, he's got the match on SmackDown tomorrow night. If he wins, Shane's fired. If he loses, he's fired. Ladder match.
From WWE, but that, yeah. Who says...
My guess is he'll go down to NXT if he loses. I'm not sure if he will or not. I actually think KO's going to win that match. I think it's going to take Shane off TV.
You think Shane's gone for a while?
Yeah.
People want Shane gone? I don't know why.
I think what's going to happen is I think Shane's going to be off TV, and I think we're going to get two new authority figures.
For both Raw and SmackDown
for the draft.
You think it'll be Heyman and Bischoff, or you think it'll be somebody else?
I don't think so. Okay. I was just curious. I wouldn't mind that.
They've done that, though.
I think Heyman's just going to stick with Brock.
Yeah.
Brock's going to be on SmackDown as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Eric Bischoff has any desire to be on TV either. Fair. I think Eric Bischoff is solely off screen.
Okay.
No, but I do think we're going to get authority figures. I would not be terribly surprised to see Paige run in SmackDown again.
That'd be fun. Paige is the breast. She's, we know.
God damn it.
What? She is.
What season is this of the show?
Like 19?
I don't know what season the podcast is. I've only been around for a few of them, but apparently that goes all the way back to season one.
Yes, it does.
Some things are consistent.
My erections.
Yeah, boy.
Oh man.
But no, apparently because she was with the Kabuki Warriors, but she had to get another neck surgery, so they took her off the road. Apparently she's due back pretty soon.
Awesome.
So there's talk that she may be going back to be SmackDown GM. No idea who they would do for Raw. But my guess is if they're gonna do a draft, they may need authority figures.
Right.
And I really don't want to do you think
Dwayne The Rock Johnson would be one of those authority figures potentially?
No.
No?
I don't think his schedule... I don't think his schedule would dictate him being there on a weekly... Even an often enough basis to make it happen.
Fair. This is Dwayne, live from Hollywood, set of The Mummy 17.
I could see Kurt Angle.
Angle again would be good. No, fuck that. I want Angle to join up with Kevin Nash and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and to remake the main event Mafia. That is what I'm talking about. Bring Booker T back with them.
You staying out there?
That's absolutely. Absolutely.
It sounds like the reason I say Angle, and I'm not even sure I want.
I want that music, the main event Mafia music, too. That music was great, by the way.
I'm not even sure I want Angle to be GM, but I was reading he accepted a job as like an agent.
That's
so
awesome.
So he's going to be on the road with him a lot.
That's awesome.
It seems like a potential.
It's good for the business. Kurt Angle's got all the tools and he's done everything.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. If you had to pick authority figures of people that could potentially be there every week that are either agents or stuff on the road, who'd you pick for us?
Monday Night Raw, I would give Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels?
I think Shawn Michaels would be a good authority.
Okay.
Like a commissioner.
I know he's doing stuff for NXT, so it's not... I wouldn't say it's terribly possible, but it's not impossible. He's employed by the company.
Right. Regal, you keep on NXT, obviously.
Regal's GM of NXT currently.
And then SmackDown, let's see here.
Shawn Michaels GM.
Let me think about SmackDown really quick. Hold on. You go ahead and talk about entertain the people for 2 minutes here.
Sure.
And I'll get back to you. Let me think about
the SmackDown. Yeah, because I know Shawn Michaels is definitely like high up in NXT right now in the at the training center. But
Finlay. I make Finlay.
Finlay GM. Yes. Yeah, he's an agent. He's always there.
I like seeing him. He's good on the stick.
No, I don't hate that idea at all.
And everybody knows he's worked with the women a lot. I think he'd be a good authority figure for both men and women.
Yeah.
And then having him on the road every week would also be pretty good for the roster as well.
Yeah, he is on the road every week. He's one of the agents. He's always around. He's got that beard now.
He was calling Brock off on Raw.
Yeah, no, fucking Brock fucking murdering Rey Mysterio and his kid.
That was a hot start
to Raw.
Raw was the first of all, new stage erections. Everybody,
new stage erections. What fucking half pipe fucking entrance.
Fucking Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 9 is going to take place on the set of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Goldfinger to start playing.
And Goldberg's going to come out and spear him. Your name's too close to mine.
Gonna spear an entire ska band.
That's right.
He's
gonna put his hand right through their bass drum.
Interesting enough, you're gonna talk about NXT and talk about Goldberg. Matt Riddle and Goldberg have had kind of an online feud going on for a while.
Really? What's their beef?
Goldberg talks a lot of shit. And,
I do know that, but
basically, after the last Crown Jewel thing where Goldberg had that match with The Undertaker,
yeah.
Matt Riddle basically just laid into him. Like, he called basically Goldberg the worst pro wrestler ever.
That's funny.
And Goldberg was been talking shit to him. They've kind of had a back and forth, and they kind of teasing a feud.
Oh, interesting.
The other thing, too, is Matt Riddle really wants to fight Brock Lesnar.
I've heard that.
Yeah, he tweets at Brock Lesnar all the time where he's like, you know, I want to fight you. Like, you were UFC champion, but I should have been UFC champion.
I could have been, but they wouldn't let me. You failed the drug policy, and you still got to do it. It's bullshit. I love everything about this feud. It writes itself.
Yeah, Brock's this big, muscled-up, tough guy.
Yeah. I love that all the WWE guys can't get by the drug test. Yeah, that's the only issue.
Matt Riddle's
running roughshod over UFC. It's like the NWO. They just don't like that when you're on drugs.
Yeah, Matt Riddle's all...
We'd send Jeff Hardy and he'd be the fucking MMA champion, but apparently you can't be on meth. That's bullshit. What? Well,
don't sue us.
What?
We don't have that. We're fine.
We'll get the Bernstein advantage.
You know that lawyer. I'm not... Just because I'm blind doesn't make me a Bernstein, Joe. We've talked about this.
I thought that came with a lawyer's
degree. No, it doesn't.
He's like, oh.
Daredevil and that Matt Murdock and that one Bernstein are the only two. We've talked about
Here's
this.
Here's your stick, and here is your certificate that you passed the bar.
That's right. Yeah. That's not how it works. Oh. How many times have we discussed this, you and I?
About 72. I'll get there. My memory's really bad.
Clearly. God damn it. I'm on disability. I got no money to take. You're afraid of losing half your stuff to a woman. You're going to lose it to fucking Jeff Hardy. Sues the shit out of him.
He ain't listening to us. Matt Hardy's listening to us. He's got enough dirt out there that we ain't got to worry about him. Anyways.
Fucking Matt Hardy's not going to sue. We'll call him Edge.
Oh, yeah. He'll take care of it for us.
No, Jesus Christ. No, but I'd really like to see a Matt Riddle Goldberg match, Matt Riddle Brock Lesnar match.
I'd like to see that.
Brock Lesnar winning the WWE title tomorrow night. Anyway, is there any way Kofi Kingston is beating Brock Lesnar?
If it ends in a DQ, there's not, like.
Is there any way Kofi Kingston is going to pin Brock Lesnar to the mat or make him tap out?
There's a way. I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's a 10% chance that happens.
10% chance.
Yeah.
You got the odds at
1%. 1% he beats him clean without any help.
Okay.
Like, I think somebody may come out and make a statement or something. I know we got Hell in a Cell coming up. I don't know. I'm excited to see it.
Because
Brock's destroyed Kofi every single time that he's been in that ring with him.
Yeah. My thing is like, I could see Brock Lesnar...
And I think Fox wants Brock to be the face of the brand.
No, he does. Well. No, that's the thing is, I'm pretty sure Brock's beating Kofi Friday night. The question is,
Are they going to have a rematch at Hell in a Cell? Are they? Is Brock going to fight somebody else at Hell in a Cell? We only have three matches for Hell in a Cell.
Do you know what I want? Do you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
I hate that it's going to be Brock versus Roman.
Mania.
It's gonna be Brock. It already writes itself.
Brock Roman Mania is the.
I'm putting my pouty face on right now. I'm gonna have pouty pants.
Yeah, you got your boo boo face on. That's a great Sasha Banks impression.
It's my Alexa Bliss impression when she loses matches.
That's not what Alexa Bliss does. That's what Sasha Banks does.
Oh well, on screen Alexa does that.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, no, she's good. She's a good wrestler.
I would you believe it? You know what? Never mind.
Yeah, well, you want to release this episode?
I do. I really do. well, you got. I mean, we're just talking about. Well, you got any thoughts about Sasha Banks coming back? We haven't really talked about Sasha being back yet.
I don't know. Her and Bayley are together. I like the angle's okay. It's not great.
And Bayley are heels.
I don't like Sasha Banks. I probably like her less than I did before based on everything that she's done.
I think Sasha's a heel is better than Sasha's a face just because it makes sense. I find Sasha's a face to be wildly unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't find her as a face that makes sense.
Well, it's a good opponent for Becky because Becky's more over than anybody, and you can only do Becky versus Charlotte so many times.
Yeah, I find that Sasha is a heel. I don't care for Sasha in the ring and on the mic like anything, but I think that Sasha as a heel at least feels natural.
Yeah,
so it doesn't feel like it's fighting what it should be. So I guess I give it credit for that.
I have a question.
Yes, that.
Do you miss Ronda Rousey at all?
No.
No.
Do
you think the sports hurt at all without her in it?
I'm sorry.
Do you think the sports hurt since she's been gone?
The what hurt?
The sport.
The
sport of wrestling. Has it been hurt at all since
she's No. Gone? No. To be honest, I actually think the wrestling would be better off had she never showed up.
I don't think it's that bad.
No, I
asked the question.
No, hang on.
That is
no,
fair.
Go ahead and defend your argument. I don't think she did damage to it either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Ronda Rousey did anything terrible to it. I just think that we would be further along with people's careers if Ronda wasn't there. I think that other people would have gotten pushes that they would be further along now.
I would say
so. I don't know if
Becky would be as over as she is if she didn't beat Ronda.
No, I'd give you credit. That is a fair point. I think that's the one thing Ronda did do. Ronda got Becky over. I will give you points for that. I think. The other thing too is, Becky got a lot of. Props for fucking getting her face broken by Nia Jax.
I know it was a bunch of events, but
Becky beating Ronda at Mania was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
We were discussing this during the women's title match in NXT. Shayna Baszler was what I wanted Ronda Rousey to be.
That match was awesome. That match was awesome.
Shayna Baszler is I like Saint Shayna. Shayna Baszler leaves a little bit to be desired on the mic. She's not quite a natural talker.
I will also eventually learn all these people's names too. This is two new rosters.
You will get there.
Yeah.
I
like Ciampa. Ciampa's back. Gargano Ciampa's floating around NXT.
The NXT crowd was hot.
Full Sail loves Ciampa.
Yeah. No, that was a hot crowd all night. That crowd, they put 50,000 fucking watts through everybody's seats when Ciampa came out. Everybody stood the fuck up.
That's right. The whole arena just ejected.
When the flat line hit, people just jumped.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like that's home base for him, and it's good to see him back. He does good work. I've seen him do a little bit.
Where are you at on the takeovers?
Fucking just watched War Games.
Okay, so you
the first one.
Okay, so you haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet for him.
For him,
NXT is very good. No, he and Johnny Gargano's feud is where shit gets good for them.
Okay,
they have a fucking blood feud.
I'll tell you right now, Humanoids. My favorite match is the one from NXT is the one that we covered was Sami Zayn versus Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah.
Probably the best match I've seen in like the last 15 years.
Okay.
But there's all ton of good stuff out there.
I would say one of my favorite feuds, I would say it's hard for me to pinpoint a match in it. And the matches themselves fell victim to the indie stuff that NXT's really doing now, or sometimes they were doing too much and it wasn't blue. But just Gargano and Ciampa, when they were working together, had the blood feud.
Yeah.
They hated each other. Well,
they were the best of friends. They were the tag team first. They were the tag team champions. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see them, but I mean, you mind if I tell you a little bit about
the feud? I'm here. It's a little late to be spoiled if I'm watching.
It's basically, you DIY the tag team.
Yeah.
They lose the tag titles.
Yeah.
One night. And you can tell, I think it was the NXT before the takeover, Ciampa blew his knee out or something.
Okay.
So they go into the takeover hurt.
Yeah.
Ciampa doesn't do a whole lot in the match. Yeah. They lose the match.
Yeah.
The match closes with basically.
No, this is the. You're talking about the one where Ciampa blasts.
Yeah, you have seen this. Where basically Ciampa.
I've seen that.
They go up the ramp together and Ciampa basically
blasts him out of nowhere.
Yeah, attacks him.
I saw that.
I had a choice. I could either leave. Leave being your friend, or I can leave and have everybody waiting for me to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, make an impact. Yeah. So they feud over that. And then when he finally, that was
good stuff. Like I said, I've seen them do a little bit based on what I've seen.
When he finally comes back, which, I mean, it's a long wait, it gets good. And their feud is fucking intense.
I believe it. I believe every word of that. And both those guys can wrestle, out of the gate.
There's a match. I think it's their second match together. During the feud, I guess they've had four. Because they had the one during the Cruiserweight Classic, which wasn't really during their feud. But also a very good match.
Yeah.
But it was their second match during the feud. And at this point, Ciampa's not coming out to entrance music. He's coming out to nothing.
I love that.
No, it's silence. But the whole crowd at the takeover is just chanting, "Fuck you, Ciampa," and it's it is deafening, and they're not even trying to censor. Like, these, you can't.
You would have to cut
the entire audio because it's the whole crowd.
Yeah.
And Barclays, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
How did he get this kind of heat?
Right. Yeah.
No one has this kind of heat.
I love that stuff.
And he's coming out like a crazy person, just hugging that belt.
Yeah, no, he looks like he covets that thing, like I said. He looks like he's a little unstable.
No, he looks like a madman.
He's willing to do absolutely anything to protect his baby. Like, he just kind of rocks back and forth with it, like, and that's all he cares about and thinks about. And that's what I want it stands out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want every wrestler to be that.
Yeah.
But Ciampa is playing his fucking character to a T.
I really think
it's really good.
Ciampa sold the feud really well on the internet as well, because I mean, he was injured for a while, so he couldn't be there, but
kept it alive.
Yeah, he was on Twitter.
You got to poke the coals a little bit.
My favorite was
with Michael Cole's and my
favorite was you know how Triple H would take like the pictures with the guys after like takeovers when they would have matches they'd win.
Yeah.
There's one where it was a picture of DIY with Triple H after their match, and he crops Gargano out of it.
Yeah.
So it's just Ciampa and Triple H standing there, and he goes, "This is my favorite picture of us together." And you can clearly see it's got like Gargano's hand in it.
That's awesome.
And it's just what a bastard! Like it's it's just
so petty. It's so great.
Amazing heat, and it. I really think they're going to start treating NXT like its own brand. It's going to have a different feel than Raw and SmackDown. I think it's going to really going to have a more indie feel. I think it's going to be similar wrestling style to AEW. And I think that, because my biggest concern was, how are guys like Ciampa, like Gargano, like Cole, who are smaller, going to do on the main roster?
Yeah.
Like, because that's the thing, is that they are going to move up.
Well, it just seems like NXT is going to be smaller. They got the NXT Cruiserweight Championship now. Like,
yeah, if they move up to Raw or SmackDown, they are going to be with guys bigger than them. They are going to be with Vince McMahon, who has not booked them this far. And I'm not going to shit on Vince McMahon's booking like people like to and go like, "Hey, he doesn't know what he's doing." But he has not booked them this far. He is taking someone he has not worked with, and now, all right, here's a guy everyone loves. Do something with him, and that is an opportunity for things to go wrong.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
But now, if NXT is treated as something equal, and I think it's going to be, basically, you instead of going, "Here's this really great developmental feud for Gargano and Ciampa," you just go, "Nope, it's its own show now." Well, it's not really a developmental territory.
It's definitely not. It's evolved into competition for the competition.
It is competition. It's a different style. I like this idea that it's NXT isn't a developmental anymore. It's almost a different style of pro wrestling to match closer to what the indies are. It's a WWE's answer to the indies that has some developmental stuff in it. WWE is redoing their contracts for NXT.
Yes, they're all getting a raise.
Yeah, and basically.
Like, they're getting, like, similar contracts.
Some Toronto Spectrum. Yeah, you're developed. You're Adam Cole's and stuff. They're not on developmental contracts anymore.
No.
They're getting regular main roster contracts. The guys that aren't on TV every week are probably still going to get developmental contracts, but you're going to get stepped up to regular contracts if you're going to be on NXT every week, because it's one of those where, like, They were gonna get sued. You're like, oh wait. So I'm on USA Network 2 hours the way SmackDown just was, but I'm still on developmental. Like what?
Yeah,
like
that's no, it's, yeah.
You would have had a problem.
No, there's way more eyes on the NXT product now than there was before.
Worth noting, week one, AEW finished second, in the ratings. I think it was behind. There was a game on.
You're talking total. Like, total. No. Like, in the race, AEW beat
NXT. AEW creamed NXT in the ratings. In the country, there was a game on Wednesday night. I don't know what it was. It was a baseball game.
Probably playoff baseball or something.
Playoff baseball, yeah, it was. It was
postseason baseball, I'm sure.
Yeah, postseason baseball, yeah, we beat it by quite a bit. But AEW was the number two thing on TV.
Yep.
NXT was number 10.
Which is a little shocking, but, you know, it is.
I mean, it lost everything it usually loses to. It lost to a new episode of South Park. Lost to American Horror Story, a new episode. Lost to Rachel Maddow, usually loses to, especially with a lot going on politically. NXT was going to lose to the things it was going to lose to.
I'd like to keep my eye on this rating to see.
Yeah, people really broke it down. But yeah, it was one of the things where it was a big,
pretty
big
discrepancy. Who do you think had the better products
overall?
Yeah.
That sounds tough. Cause I would say that I am really excited to see what AEW does going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool to see the first episode of a brand new wrestling product. I mean, the last time I saw the first episode of a new wrestling product was when I first saw an episode of TNA when I was 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, that was the last time I saw brand new wrestling.
We'll Ring of Honor and stuff like that.
That wasn't new. That was new to me, but it wasn't like...
Brand new company.
It wasn't, yeah, it was like, I saw TNA for someone who went to Spike TV.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't TNA for the first time. It was when TNA first hit Spike.
I was watching on Fox Sports Detroit because I'm old school.
Like, yeah, we didn't have that.
Well,
but when it hit Spike, that was its real, like,
when it got legs.
And yeah,
it really started being competition. They tried to be Monday nights, and then that didn't.
Well, I mean, it was before we went to Monday nights.
I know. I watched the show. Yeah, it was good stuff.
But
I still have 800 DVDs upstairs of that era.
You paid $10.
Yep. Didn't lose any money on it.
Yeah.
Losing money just.
But overall, I think NXT had the better show.
I agree. It was close.
It was very close. I think that. AEW had some really good things, but I think AEW did some things really wrong.
AEW had a couple more growing pains.
I think NXT didn't have things that shine quite as much as AEW, but I don't think NXT had anything glaringly wrong either.
Right.
There are some things that AEW really bothered me. And there are a couple things that I really liked. NXT really consistent.
Jack Hager coming back.
Jake Hagar?
Is that what they're calling him?
Jake Hagar is his real name.
Okay, The undefeated MMA champion. I like giving him that moniker.
Yeah. It's such a crock.
He's undefeated. What are you talking about? Never lost?
Yeah. It's
I'm undefeated MMA too. Never lost.
Yeah, that's funny. And it's funny. And in Bellator, he is undefeated. Yeah. They've got him. He's a heavyweight, obviously, in Bellator. They've got him fighting like guys that are they're in his weight class, but they're like 6 inches shorter and just like fat.
They look like Butterbean.
Yeah, they're like dad bod guys. They're like they're just like finding bums for this guy to for him to fight just to dismantle. Because Bellator is basically like It's MMA. It's just weight class. It's MMA, but they're also like, they book it kind of like wrestling. They're like, we want to push this guy. All right, just give him some scrubs to go in there and beat the shit out of, like.
It's more of entertainment aspects of MMA.
No, I wouldn't say a lot, but they definitely...
Like, they're not fixing fights, but they're making them lopsided.
If there's a newer guy they want to, like, get some wins under, they will get a little, like...
Be like, oh, somebody's here to do the job.
Yeah, fucking get that guy. No, it's really funny. There was one that was really egregious where it's like, yeah, Jake Hagar's built like a brick shit house.
Yes, he is.
And there's another who's, yeah, he's built like me. Like, he's probably, 6 foot, so he's probably 2 inches taller than me, but he's fat. Like, he's...
They're in the same weight class just because this guy has so much body hair on him. Like.
No, he's no definition. I mean, he probably is trained in MMA. Like, he probably... Throws a good punch and knows a couple submissions, but he's got no business
fighting
Jake Hagar. He just he probably got signed for a fight and got made $20,000 to get beat the shit out of. Like, he knew he was good. Like, hey, if you beat Jake Hagar, you're gonna make another 30. Yeah. But you're not going to beat Jake Hagar.
Yeah, like, good luck with that.
If you can do it.
Here's a picture of him with a soaring eagle by him. Yeah, he looks ridiculous, but he don't kill you.
Yeah. The winner's purse is this. Good luck. The only thing with Jake... wrestling fans aren't too happy with Jake Hagar right now.
Why is that? What did he do?
They already want to cancel him. He's got some really... conservative views of the world.
Does he?
The big one right now is he's retweeted in like some very anti-transgender talking heads on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That
Twitter will end a wrestling career. No, you gotta be anything.
No, and that's the thing. Well, AEW.
Like, I'm at Trip and say LOL, but I'll tell you that I'm retweeting Alexa Bliss's butt all the time, and I will own up to that. And I look forward to being your president someday.
I'm waiting to be canceled on Twitter. I don't know what's gonna do it, but it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it'll be like the one too many Four Loko tweets just. Finally did him in.
Yeah. I mean, AEW has your, first ever transgender woman wrestler.
Yeah.
AEW is all about inclusiveness. Like, that's one of the things is, like, I feel like inclusion. I don't know that necessarily AEW ought to be like, hey, everybody gets to be a pro wrestler. I don't necessarily know that transgender people shouldn't need to be pro wrestlers, but sometimes I think that they're allowing Marco Stunt at 4'9" and 90 pounds. Maybe he shouldn't be pro wrestling. That's a whole other topic.
Mm.
But I do think that if AEW's message is inclusiveness is important, and we're going to just sign a guy who is like, yeah, I hear all my hot takes about
being anything but inclusive.
Yeah, really, really antiquated views of the world and hot takes on such. It's gonna create a problem.
Right.
It's people already kind of against it. I don't think it's gonna be a big problem for him, but he's probably gonna have to watch his words and behavior a little bit, and there'll probably be a something said about it. I know that. Yeah, I think he took that We the People gimmick pretty.
They were chanting it at him.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I was like, put your hand over your chest. Do the thing. I was like, you're like, I don't think he can.
I'm pretty sure Vince owns that.
Yeah, that might be.
Dutch Martel is going by Dutch Martel again for a reason.
Mantel?
Whatever. Dirty Dutch Runner is what he's going to be known as. But after fucking Vince sues him again.
Passing notes at the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Absolutely. Just draw a picture of you in a bikini.
Yep. Why would you do that?
Well, I handed it to the mustache. He's going to go jack off to it. Anyways, back to wrestling.
Gross. Well, we were going to put this episode out.
Yeah, we still can.
But yeah, overall, I would give a slight nod to NXT this week. But I would honestly call it too close to call.
Yeah.
I would honestly call this
week. I give the edge to NXT. I had to choose.
If I have to choose, I call NXT, I would pretty much call it virtual tie.
I would say AEW had a very, very strong first night showing there. I'm excited for weeks in the future. I think, like you were saying, Shivani and JR on the commentary team is just straight fire.
I agree.
And I think that leads us to final thoughts here, there, Showtime.
Well,
go ahead, lay your final thoughts on us.
My final thoughts are, it's good to be back at the Undisputed Podcast World. I'm happy yes. that this episode is going to hit the air.
Yes.
Happy to be here for a new season.
Yes.
Looking forward to bringing you our thoughts on the new Wednesday Night War.
Yes.
Every week, breaking down Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW. We have so much fucking wrestling to watch.
Yes.
We'll probably have even more to cover next week because we'll be talking more about Raw and SmackDown as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. A very exciting time to be a wrestling fan. I don't know if there's been a better time since... I mean, I wasn't watching Raw when the Monday Wars were happening. This is probably the most exciting time to watch wrestling since I have been watching.
It's been 19 years for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm
older than Father Time. I started watching wrestling when the Dead Sea was only 6, let me tell you. Like, the Coliseum was something, you guys.
Yeah. I started watching wrestling in 2003 and 4. So, I mean, the Monday Wars were over. This is the most exciting time since I started watching wrestling to be watching.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty damn cool. Other than that, my name is Chad Showtime Schultz, and I still need to know better.
Absolutely needs to know better. I know. I've been seeing some of his tweets out there. Needs to know better.
Trebuchet, final thoughts.
I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. With SmackDown going to Fox... The Yes Movement is coming back. As early as this Friday. Yes, yes, yes. Daniel Bryan is going to be teaming with Roman Reigns now and fighting.
I'm pretty sure they've got a fighting match.
Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. And let me tell you, they've been hitting at it a lot. The Yes Movement's going to reign supreme. And we'll talk about more mainstream WWE. Next week when we do this, but I'm really glad to be part of this Wednesday night war. I didn't think we were going to get it again. I'm a little nostalgic about this. I'm a little just I'm very satisfied to have it back again. I never thought it'd be on TNT again of all.
Networks. No, that was really weird. It was
so familiar. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
It was weird seeing like baseball commercial. Like we are watching wrestling on Turner Networks.
I couldn't be happier about it, man. I'm happy Showtime Schultz is here to enjoy this with me. I think that we
are we war journalists now?
We should be. We should at least win some tatas or something.
We should I do my like Brian Williams impression? I don't know if I have one.
Okay, we'll work on that. So I am Trebuchet. He is Shad Showtime Schultz.
Shad JTG.
JTG. Shad Showtime Schultz, everybody.
Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Brooklyn, Trebuchet out.